Kaya napakaganda ng ating inawit na nagpapaalala sa atin na sa kagandahan ng sanglilikha ay meron tayong kinikilalang may likha nito, may control nito. Napakaganda lalo ng the last two verses kung inyo talagang pagbubulayan. What though in solemn silence all move round the dark terrestrial ball? What though no real voice nor sound amid the radiant orbs be found? Parang paano kung wala talagang tinig sa likod na mga bagay na yan, mas makabubuti ba sa atin? And the answer, the assured answer of the last verse in reason's ear, they all rejoice and utter forth a glorious voice, forever singing as they shine, the hand that made us is divine. And we respond to that with a resounding amen na merong may likha sa mga bagay na ito. But then, there are times that seems na ang kalikasan ay may dalang kapangitan sa buhay ng tao. Last November 8, Typhoon Haiyan in international name. Kilala natin bilang Typhoon Yolanda hit Eastern Visayas and it is now considered the strongest typhoon that ever made landfall. At gusto nating malaman ang mga bagay na nag-uudyok sa mga tao magtanong bakit? Bakit nangyari ito? I remember that poignant scene when Anderson Cooper of CNN, dumalaw mismo sa Leyte at isang lalaki roon ang kanyang nakausap, yung mga bangkay ng kanyang mga mahal sa buhay, nasa paligid lang niya at hindi pa niya makontak yung mga kamag-anak niya sa Maynila. Pinahiram siya ni Anderson Cooper ng satellite phone niya at nakausap niya yung kanyang kamag-anak sa kauna-unang pagkakataon at doon siya ay humagulgol at sinabi niya, bakit nangyari ito sa akin? And that is a question that we all ask. Bakit nangyayari ang mga bagay na ito? Gusto ko nating tingnan ito sa malawakang pamamaraan, both from the scriptures, but before we go to the theology of the tragedy, gusto rin nating maunawaan ito from the scientific and natural perspective. Eh, kung ako magtuturo niya, hindi niyo naman ako paniniwalaan. So, nag-anyaya ako ng mas may kadalubhasaan sa bagay na ito at mapalad tayo that we have such a man in our congregation. Although ang kanyang field ay watershed management, but he was among the delegation ng Philippines sa Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change na nagawaran noon ng Nobel Peace Prize. Kaya mapalad tayo that we have with us to tell us about the scientific and natural explanation of tragedies like Yolanda, Chancellor of UPLB, Brother Rex Cruz.
Maraming salamat, Pastor. Hindi ko na, I haven't kept track of the lately, of the running tally of how many died during the last typhoon Yolanda. No? But I know that the last time I was looking at the tally, more than 5,780 already perished from the typhoon. And in terms of agricultural damages, it's already more than 14 billion pesos. And in terms of infrastructure, it's already more than 12 billion pesos now. But I'm very sure that after everything has been accounted for, the damages, you know, will easily cross 40 billion, and that is what they are actually allocating in terms of budget. You know, the national government, I think, has already allocated more than 40 billion for the rehab of the typhoon-affected areas. And add to that the contribution of different countries, no, providing assistance for the rehabilitation, and easily the amount of money that will be used for rehabilitation will be, I don't know, maybe close to 60, 70 billion pesos. You know, and that's a very staggering amount that has been destroyed by one single typhoon. The largest typhoon, mamaya papakita ko yan sa inyo, before Yolanda in terms of damages, ay mga ano lang, nasa more than 10 billion lang yung kanyang you know, total damages. So this one is really unprecedented. No? And rightly, you know, what Pastor said, this is already the strongest, you know, cyclone or typhoons that ever made landfall in history. No? But ang question nga natin is, ano, bakit ba nangyayari ito? Now, I'm going to make this presentation as an expert in meteorology. No, I just had one course in meteorology, in climatology, and another course which is very related to that. No, but nothing more. Okay. A lot of this will actually be coming from the web, and of course, with what I still remember, you know, from the two courses that I took. So, siguro ang first question natin is, ano ba ang typhoon? No? Ang typhoon is what they refer to as a mature tropical cyclone that develops in the western part of the northern Pacific Ocean. No? So may latitude pa dyan, yung exact geographical range ng typhoon formation. So ang cyclone, na-form lang yan sa Pacific. Northern Pacific, no? Sa eastern at saka sa western. Okay? Ang Pilipinas ay nasa western, although pag nire-refer siya parang laging east, no? Pero yung talagang exact location niya is in the western Pacific, no? And that is from the, ang alam ko diyan, that is from the perspective ng yung baliktad na, no? Baliktad na representation of the earth, which is actually the true image, no? With respect to the ang tawag dyan, mga reference points. So, nasa western Pacific tayo, northern. No? Northern, ibig sabihin, above the equator. No? And western Pacific, west of the international dateline. No? So, yun ang ibig lang sabihin nun. Alright. Now, nagpo-form siya sa east, ang tawag ay hurricane. No? Pag sa east nag-form ang cyclone, ang tawag dyan ay hurricane. Pag sa west, ang tawag ay typhoon. Okay? So yun yung kaibahan, pero pareho lang silang cyclone. Pareho silang tropical cyclone. They form within what we call the tropics and the subtropics region. Okay? Ito yung this is a map showing the regions where typhoons normally form, no? So ito yung mga areas na yan, no? So subtropical yung baba ng equator, no? And tropics yung taas ng equator. That's what they refer to, no? Okay, so itong namumulan na yan yung common areas na pinagmumulan ng mga bagyo, no? Doon sa west at saka sa eastern northern Pacific Ocean. Ito naman yung circulation. Mamaya babalikan natin yung circulation na yan, no? But this is how warm water and cold water circulates, no, in different parts of the Pacific. Okay? So yan ang may kinalaman doon sa pamumuo ng masamang hangin, no, na nagiging bagyo. But that is very important. Ito ang nagbabago. As the temperature changes, yung pag-ikot ng warm water, no, sa ocean, yan ang nagbabago, yan ang naapektuhan, no. And the driver is temperature. No? Temperature ang driver niyan, no. Kagaya niyan, no? So binabago ng ito ang binabago yung direction ng flow ng warm water, no? Yan ang binabago ng temperature. Pag tumataas, nagbabago yan, no? Kaya nawawala ng parang nagiging erratic siya, no? Minsan bumababa yung bagyo natin, no? Minsan tumataas, no? But mostly ngayon nakikita natin ang bagyo bumababa, pumupuntang Mindanao, no? Whereas before, hindi na-experience yan. Freak, pag yan ay tumama sa Mindanao, ang tawag natin freak, kasi hindi siya common. No? But dahil sa pagtaas ng temperature, nababago yung pattern ng takbo ng warm water kung saan namumuo ang bagyo. No? Kaya nakikita natin yan. No? Okay, ito yung larger picture, no? Ito yung actual flow actually ng mga warm water, no? So makikita natin yung flow papuntang in this direction, no? And then in the particular, no, may mga circulation siyang maliliit, no? But ito yung area na mainit ang tubig, no? Mainit ang tubig. So ano bang requirements para mabuo ang bagyo? Bakit nabubuo ang bagyo? Kinakailangan ang sea surface temperature ay at least 26.5 degrees centigrade. And dapat hanggang sa at least 50 meters deep yung temperature na yan. Ibig sabihin, mas malamig dyan or mas mababaw ang mainit na tubig, hindi mamumuo ang bagyo. No? Ito yung minimum. This is the minimum condition. Actually, kahit ito lang ang condition, paamaring mamuo yung bagyo kahit na wala yung mga sumunod na, na requirements. No? Okay? Pwedeng mamuo yan. Now, pag unstable lang atmosphere in terms of pressure, no? Alam natin yung pressure, di ba? May pressure gradient ng atmosphere. Okay? Pag naging, ano yan, pag naging erratic yan, because again, of warming, no? So yan ang isang ano, yan ang isang precondition na kung bakit mabubuo ang bagyo. And then high humidity, of course. Kinakailangan basa ang no, kinakailangan basa ang troposphere o part ng atmosphere. Dapat basa yan, no? Kasi saan manggagaling? Saan manggagaling yung halimbawa yung ulan, no? Kundi diyan sa ano, sa humidity, no? And ang humidity of course galing naman yan sa ocean, no? Through evaporation. Enough Coriolis force to develop a low pressure center. Wala yung ating meteorologist talaga dito, si Annie, no, who has more courses probably than me when it comes to meteorology, no. Ay, si Annie. Ayan, si Annie. Annie will answer all the questions. Mamaya. The hard questions kay Annie, no, easy questions sa akin, no. All right. Yung Coriolis force, yan yung force na nag-generate by the earth rotating on its axis, no. Maano niyo naman 'yan, di ba? Ma-experiment niyan, no? Magpaikot kayo ng bola and then somehow may na-generate siya na energy, no. And that energy, because of the rotation of the earth, it affects the movement of air, it affects the movement of even water, no. Okay? Merong ano, of course may inertia 'yan, no. Mabagal naman kasing umikot yung earth and therefore yung impact niyan kapag ka maliliit na movement ng water or ng air, hindi mo makita. Pero sa global picture, no, makikita mo yan if ever there's a way that we can actually look at how water is circulating and how air is circulating, makikita natin yung effect ng rotation ng earth axis. No? But that is an important factor as well. And a pre-existing low-level focus or low level focus or disturbance, no, and low vertical wind shear, no? Low vertical wind shear, ito ay maliit na column ng air, no, that is part of the requirements. Okay, so parang ganito yung nangyayari, no, kapag ka mainit, uminit na ang dagat, no? Yung dumadaan na hangin sa ibabaw ng mainit na dagat o mainit na tubig ay naiinitan din, no? Parang tumataas din yung temperature ng hangin. Now, kapag tumaas ang temperature ng hangin, just like any other matter, pag tumaas ang temperature niya, nagiging less dense. No? Nagiging less dense, okay? Ibig sabihin, gumagaan. Okay, gumagaan. So yung hangin na dumadaan dito, no, imbis na magpatuloy siya ng kanyang lateral movement or lateral flow, horizontal flow, no, it will begin to rise, no, tataas 'yan. Okay? Tataas 'yan. Now, habang tumataas 'yan, sinasuck in niya yung mga, you know, all the warm moisture, no, coming from the warm surface temperature. And habang dumadami 'yon, lumalakas yung kanyang circulating movement. So, imbis na yung hangin tumakbong ganon, no, dahil nainitan siya, naging dense siya, tendency niya ngayon, tataas siyang ganon, and ang movement niya is on a circular, no. Kaya nakikita na natin sa mga satellite images, no, paikot ng ganon yung hangin. But it's still moving laterally, no, but meron siyang circular motion, no. Alright? So, basically, no, and then, of course, sa gitna where you have the low pressure, no, the lowest pressure in the entire system, yun ang tinatawag nating mata. No? Pag nasa mata ng typhoon, usually walang ano yan, walang hangin, no, walang. It's very calm, no, it's very calm. Yan yung sinasabi diyan, galing yung ano ba tawag doon? Yung saying, you know, that there's a calm before a storm. No? Okay, so dahil kapag yung dumaan na sa ibabaw natin yung ano, yung buong system ng typhoon at natapat tayo doon sa eye, very calm yan, no. Alright. Oh, bakit naman may pangalan? bilis-bilisan natin, baka maubusan tayong oras, no? Typhoon names, no? Paano naman binibigyan ng pangalan ng mga bagyo? Kasi yung Yolanda, saan galing yan, no? International code name ng mga bagyo ay galing sa iba't ibang bansa na dinadaanan ng bagyo, no? Ginagawa nito mga bansa na ito, nagsasubmit sila ng mga listahan nila ng ano ng pangalan, no, for typhoons that actually come into their area, no. Depende doon sa kung anong average number of typhoons na pumapasok sa kanila, yun ang dami ng listahan ng pangalan na sinasubmit nila. And then kinoconsolidate ito. And then hinahati nila yan into a 5-year cycle kung saan kinukuha yung mga pangalan ng bagyo, no. So yun yung ano, yung kaya sa ibang bansa, no, sa ibang bansa hindi sila gumagamit ng pangalan ng tao, no. Usually ginagamit nila ay ibang pangalan, no. Pangalan ng ano nga mga pangalan yan? Hayop, no? Haiyan is palagi ko yung Haiyan galing yan sa China, eh, no. Okay, galing sa China yung Haiyan term, no. And kaya Haiyan yan. But hindi natin alam kung ano yun. No, it's not it's not human name. But sa Pilipinas, pag pumasok sa Philippine Area of Responsibility, no, yung pangalan ng code name na yan, ina-adapt na natin yung naming convention, no. Tayo naman pangalan ng tao, no. Dati nung una para yung pangalan ng babae, no. Dahil tayo gender ano na ngayon, sensitive, no. So pati lalaki na ngayon ay kasama na sa pagbibigay ng pangalan. Makikita niyo mamaya yung isang pangalan ng bagyo na napakalakas. Mamaya. Majority of storms form between June and November, and the tropical cyclone formation is least between December and May. Magbabago ba yan? Magbabago yan. Kasi yung, again, as I said, no, yung temperature pattern natin will change, and therefore magsi-shift yung anong yan, magsi-shift yung focus of high cyclone, no, generation. Mag-move yan. We expect that will move. Sa ngayon ang nag-move pa lang is within the range, no. Between usually June to July, ngayon nag-move na tayo from September to October. No? But that will change, no, because of the continuous changes in temperature. About 1/3 of all tropical cyclones form in Western Pacific. So, ang pinaka-prolific na zone for typhoon or cyclone generation, Western Pacific, no, which is this area, no, which is this area, including yung Indian Ocean. Tama ba, Ani? Kasama ang Indian Ocean, ano, sa Western Pacific? No. Okay. Oo daw, mami. Mami, ha? Si Ani yung sasagot. Okay. Between 1959 and 2011, ito yung mga typhoons that were formed in the Northwest Pacific Ocean, no? So, by month, makikita natin that June to November siya yung pinakamarami talagang typhoon na degenerate, no? And we account for what? We account for about 20, at least 20 of those, no, every year. Okay? So, yan yung distribution na every year. And then yung intensity naman, tropical cyclone intensity scale, no? Ito yung ginagamit ng ano, binagamit natin, no? This was developed by Japanese Meteorological ano agency. So tropical depression siya kapag ka 60 kilometers ang wind speed, no, and below. So ibig sabihin depression lang yan. And then tropical storm between 62 and 88 kilometers per hour. And then severe tropical storm 89 to 117 and greater than 117 or 118 and above. Yan ang tawag na natin bagyo or typhoon. Okay, typhoon. But yung wind speed, again, you know, it's not an indication really of, you know, whether a cyclone or a storm, you know, is destructive or not. Kasi meron tayong mga tropical depression lang, you know, naging very destructive yan in history. No? Just like what happened in Southern Sierra Madre in Infanta, no, in 2004, hindi talaga Walang super typhoon doon. No, walang super typhoon doon. It's mga tropical depressions lang yun ang nagkasunod-sunod. Meron pang isang, ito yung ginagamit sa, ano, ginagamit ng US, no, for categorizing, classifying yung kanilang mga cyclones, yung mga hurricanes nila. And kung ilalapat natin ito sa Typhoon Yolanda, no, nandun to sa librong sinusulat namin, isa lang ako sa maraming authors, no. Lumalabas ang Typhoon Yolanda is beyond Category 5, eh, no? It's beyond Category 5. Yung Category 5 ang pinamalakas, eh, no? Greater than 252 kilometers per hour, and we were way, way beyond that. No? I think 314 kilometers per hour ang sustained winds natin, no? Yung sustained winds, yun yung pinakamalakas na hangin within a 2-minute to 3-minute average, depende kung sino nagsusukat niya. No? Pero dito sa Pilipinas, ang ginagamit natin 10-minute average. No? Pero internationally, ang practice is 2 minutes and 3 minute average, no, to determine the peak sustained, no, sustained winds. Okay, so dito sa atin medyo matipid tayo, no, 10 minutes ang gusto natin. Therefore, mas mababa yung lumalabas na top speed natin, no, top wind speed natin kung kukumpara mo doon sa international measurements. Okay? Pero mas gusto ko yung international measurements because that gives us more it gives us a better appreciation of the strength of the typhoon. Typhoon Haiyan had the strongest sustained winds of 314 kilometers per hour. Ito yung dinaanan niya. I think you have seen this many times, no? And Tacloban is just right here, no? And kaya siya ang isa sa pinakamalakas na tinamaan, no? So, all the way. Ito yung ilan sa mga pinaka-active na years, no, when typhoons were formed in history, no, in the tropical, in a tropical western, no, Pacific. So ito yung mga years na yan na maraming, na napakaraming typhoons na dumating, no. 39 noong 1964, 1965, 67, 97, 35, 1994, 34, etc., etc. So ito yung and a lot of this actually came into the Philippines, no, Philippine area of responsibility. Sa Pilipinas ata ang pinakamarami natin was 34. Nakalimutan ko na kung anong year, no, but it's one of these years, no. Okay, ito yung between 1980 and 2005. 1980 lang ito, and 2005, which is about what? Only 25 years. Ito yung total lang lahat ng nabuong bagyo, no? Yung different categories sa area natin. Nawala lang ang Pilipinas, eh, no? Pilipinas ay nandito dito, no? Wala na, hindi na natin makita, eh. Pinakyaw na natin lahat ng bagyo. Sa Visayas, no? Pag sa Visayas lang ang titingnan natin since 1948, medyo marami din, ano? Marami na rin talagang dumaan na bagyo sa Visayas, no? But ito 'yon. And so and dumadami na rin yung mga malalakas, no? And then ito yung tropical cyclones in the Philippines with at least 150 kilometers per hour, no, sustained winds. So kung titingnan natin from 1971 to 2007, no, ang pinakamarami pa rin, no, pinakamarami pa rin na tropical cyclone was actually recorded in 2003, and this is associated with El Nino, no. Remember El Nino, yung sa El Nino doon nagwa-warm ang sea surface temperature, no. Yan ang isa sa mga anomalies that is distinct of El Nino. Umiinit ang tubig dagat, no? Umiinit ang tubig dagat starting from the Eastern Pacific Rim, no? And then doon ang gagaling umiikot yung mainit na tubig. Pagpunta dito sa atin, ang result noon ay nagkakaroon tayo ng mga malalakas na bagyo kasi mas mainit ang tubig ng dagat. Um, destructive fact, ito yung mga iba't ibang typhoon natin na may malakas na ulan at saka malakas na hangin, no? So, yung typhoon na Feria, no? Yan ang isa sa pinakamalakas in terms of extreme rainfall. Feria. Ani, ano nga yung Feria? Riming ba yan? Riming? Ah, may Riming dito. Asa hindi. Nalimutan ko na yung typhoon Feria. Pero siya yung pinakamalakas ng ulan so far, no? So, halos ano yan eh? Halos more than 1.5 meters ang ulan, no? Okay? So, napakaraming ulan yan. Napakaraming ulan, no? And then of course, malalakas yung Riming, Ondoy, no? Actually in recent years Ondoy ang pinakamarami, no? That's why nagkaroon ng massive flood sa Metro Manila, no? Yung bumagyo dito sa atin, that was due to Milenio, no? Milenio yung bagyo dito sa atin. Now, again, no? Again, this could indicate kung gaano ang intensity ng flash floods, no? But again, ang correlation niyan hindi direct, no? Because there could be, for instance, Milenio, no, di hamak na maliit yung kanyang ulan, but it depends on when it comes. In other words, kung yung Milenio dumating na ang ulan-ulan na nung previous day, yung tinatawag nilang antecedent, no? Antecedent precipitation or precipitation before an event actually happened. So kung yung Milenio, kahit konti lang ulan niya, dumating siya at a time when there was already a number of days that have a lot of rains, no? Pwede siyang bumaha katulad ng nangyari nung Milenio, no? And it's because the day before, maulan na talaga noon ang ating, ang buong Luzon at that time, no? Ito, hindi ko na isa-isayin yan, no? So, isa sa pinakamalakas in terms of number of death, no, eh, Typhoon Ike. Talagang, ano yan eh? Bagyo talaga yan, ano?
Anong mas malaking
bagyo yan?
Barilyo.
Pero Amy, maliit lang. No? Maliit lang yan. Okay. Ito naman yung in terms of damages, no? So, ang pinakamahal pa rin dyan ay lumalabas Yolanda, no? Ang pinakamalakas dito sa historical record is yung Ruping at saka yung Rusing, no? But of course, hindi ito, according to the economist, hindi ito naka-index yung price, no? So, baka yung real value ng damages ng Rusing at saka ng Ruping can be much, much more than, ano, ha? Kasi nagkaroon na ng inflation. So ang tanong ay, why is the Philippines prone to typhoons? No? The Philippines is prone to typhoon because it's located along the Pacific region near the equator, which is prone to tropical cyclones, no? And storms. So most of the storms actually happen here, no? Ito yung sa Typhoon Haiyan, no? Dito siya nagsimula, no? Well, dito nagsimula yan, may papaganon. And then it moved westward. Yeah. Balikan uli natin yung pinakita ko na sa inyong slides kanina. Again, no, ito yung warm water ng Pacific, and this is where most of the tropical cyclones are formed, no? And it's unfortunate na ang direction ng movement ng tropical cyclones that are formed in the Western Pacific ay papunta sa atin. Sa atin. Okay? Doon talaga siya papunta, no? It either goes horizontally westward or most of them actually curve, no, north, following the northeasterly direction, no? Yung nagka-curve na ganyan, no? So from here, no, parang tumataas na ganon, no? But may mga bagyo na diretso talagang ganon, just like what Haiyan, no? Sa Haiyan medyo talagang diretso siya, no? Napaka well-behaved ng Haiyan actually. It was easy to predict for PAGASA, no? Ang deviation niya is napakaliit eh, no? So it's a triumph also of, ano, of forecasting, no, ng PAGASA because of their advanced equipment. The next question is, why are we vulnerable? Bakit napaka problema natin ang typhoons? Well, because one, many towns and cities are located in coastal areas, no? And ngayon alam na natin, before hindi natin alam, meron palang storm surge, no? Meron palang storm surge na tinatawag. Never heard. Noong panahon namin, wala namang storm surge. You know? Okay, wala kaming nababalitaan. Actually, storm surge na na-encounter ko lang yan. Ito ng mga sumusulat kami ng, ano, ng libro sa climate change. You know? Storm surge. And hindi ako maka-identify din kasi ang lumalabas lang na may problema tayo sa storm surge is sa yung coastline ng Pangasinan, La Union, Ilocos. No? So doon, malimit may storm surge yan. And then sa Surigao, no? Yung seaboard sa Surigao del Norte, Surigao del Sur. So yan ang may mga frequent problem on surge, storm surge. And also albay pala. No? Okay? But ang problema nga natin, marami sa ating mga bayan at mga syudad ay nasa coastal areas. And nag-proliferate yan kasi in historic times, ala namang ganyang events eh. No? Pero kung meron sana, siguro hindi ganyan karami mga ano dyan, no? Kasi nag-a-adjust naman tayo. Eh. No? But too late. No? Kasi nga, at the time na nabuo ang maraming towns and cities, wala pa tayong experience, no? That we can use to teach us where to put, where to locate our settlement areas. And an absence of natural and man-made sea barriers. Kapag marami kang corals, no, coral reefs, yung may formation ka na, nakaka-slow down yan ng movement ng storm surge. And then kung makapal lang iyong mangrove forest, no? Ito yung forest na tinatawag nilang bakawan, no, mga bakawan, pero hindi lang naman bakawan ang meron, napakaraming klase pa ng halaman doon, pero bakawan ang pinakasikat, no, yung bakawanan, yan ay malaking tulong din sa protection natin against, and of course, poor planning and implementation. No. May magagandang plano na naman, and may mga nag-aaral na in the past na nagsasabing, huwag kayo dyan kasi delikado dyan. No. Just like sa Marikina Valley. Sa Marikina Valley, no, ang dami nang nag-aral niyan. Kasi nga, no, pag nakikita yan ng mga eksperto sa mapa, yung 3D, nakikita nila na yung Marikina Valley talagang naando doon siya sa receiving end ng napakalaking basin, river basin. No? Yung river basin kasi siyang nagko-collect ng tubig, ulan. No? And then somehow, yung tubig ulan na to will be drained out. No? And yung Marikina Valley is actually floodplain, no? And dami nagsabi niyan, and dami ng studies na ginawa, nagsabing delikado yan, tatamaan ang Marikina Valley, no? And tinamaan nga. So, sabi ng mga eksperto, sabi ko na sa inyo. Okay. Kasama na dyan ang denuded upland forests, no? Denuded mangroves, many communities in flood and rain-induced landslide-prone areas. Ang mga, although kapag ka may punong kahoy, may forest ka, no, parang hindi rin eh. Ngayon, alam na natin, no, pag kasi lakas ng Yolanda, no, any kind of forest will actually be destroyed. Eh, no? Nothing in its path will actually prevent it. No? Sa Samar, 95% ng lahat ng, hindi naman forest, so coconut, 95% tabas yan sa Eastern Samar. Kung pupuntan daw kayo doon, lahat ng coconut plantation, nakita niya, wala na yan. Okay? Ang forest, no? Hindi ko pa nakita ang forest ng Eastern Samar, pero pag nakita niyo ang forest ng Compostela Valley na dinaanan ng Pablo, no? Wipe out ang forest ng Compostela Valley at the time na dumaan ang Pablo doon. Milenyo, natandaan niyo Milenyo? Anong itsura ng Mount Makiling at that time? No? Parang ano, di ba? Parang nilaging eh. Nung kasi nasa Bicol ako nung tumama yung Milenyo, pagdating ko dito, pagtingin ko sa bundok, sabi ko, wow. Sabi ko, wala na Makiling. No? Wala nang Makiling. But, ang isang maganda dito is, no, the forest can actually recover, no, from these kinds of damage. It says, meron silang inherent capacity to rebound from these kinds of disturbances. No? Resilient ang forest eh. Very resilient ano yan, ecosystem. And, the forest actually becomes more robust, no, after these kinds of destruction. Wag lang gagalawin, ha? wag lang sisigaan o wag lang ko-cultivate, no? It can rebound very quickly, ah, very quickly. And I have seen also a forest which has been logged, no? Nilag talagang pag nakita mo, kaya ng mga environmentalists, kapag ka nakita yung nilag na area, no? Talagang parang dinudurog siguro yung puso nila. Kasi ako ganun din, eh, forester din ako. Pag nakita ko yung bagong lag na areas, talagang kalunos-lunos, no? Pero alam nyo, after 3 months, bumalik kayo doon the same area, alos din nyo na makita kung nilag nga yung area o hindi. No? Yung, kasi yung disturbances na na-create ng lagging ay tinakpan na kagad ng natural vegetation cover. Halos din yun na makita yan. The same is true pag tinamaan ng bagyo, no? Minamastan ko nga yung anong yan, eh, pagpa, no, nung after millennia, pagpapunta dito, pag galing dito sa Erie, tinitingnan ko lagi, sabi ko, malapit na, no? Mawawala na yung, ano, yung marks of millennia. No? And it took only 6 months, no, to be able to cover all the tracks ng, ano, typhoon millennia sa Makiling. So, ano mga impacts ng typhoon? Flash floods, no? Ito yung sa Undoy, no? And of course, sa flash floods, maraming nasisira dyan, no? Properties, houses, farms, no? Kung titingnan natin ang average, no? Damages natin from typhoons, floodings, flash flood, and drought, makikita natin pinakamalaki pa rin damages ay due to typhoon. On the average, ang damage ng agricultural sector from typhoon is about 12 billion pesos per year. Per year yan. No? Per year. So, ganyan ka damaging ang ating typhoon dito. No? And this year, of course, no, eh, lampas-lampas na tayo dyan. No? Lampas na tayo sa 12 billion pesos. National yun, ha? National. National yung 12 billion average, okay? Itong 14 billion or more, ngayon, isang region lang yan, no? And isang event lang yan. Okay? So, ganyan ka-destructive ang Yolanda. So, kung titingnan kasi natin, no, ang mga super typhoon is really related sa climate change, no? There was a time when like mga 6-7 years ago, no, hindi pa conclusive yung findings ng mga scientists, no, on whether the intensification of typhoons are actually a result of climate change, no? But in 2007 and more so now, ang mga scientists ay kumbinsido na that they have all the evidences to show that intensification ng typhoons is due to climate change. So marami na silang evidences ngayon to show that. No? And kung titingnan naman natin ang climate change, no, again, I said this already before, no, climate change is really a consequence of the violation of the natural laws. No? And of course, not to say spiritual laws, pero si Pastor na maala dun. No? But yung natural law kasi, no, why warming? No? Meron kasing threshold, no, ang lahat ng human activities, no. Merong threshold 'yan in terms of its impacts on the natural system. Like carbon halimbawa, carbon in the atmosphere. Meron lang threshold dito that beyond that, no, kapag tayo patuloy pa rin nag-i-emit ng carbon sa atmosphere, then that's when global warming comes in. That's where climate change begin, no. Of course, in the past hindi natin alam ito, no. Dahil wala namang ganitong nangyayari in the past, eh. Kala natin noon, walang limit. Kala natin noon, walang threshold. Now we know may threshold. Meron palang limit ang pwedeng gawin natin, no, so that the impacts will be tolerable, no, and can sustain the natural system. Okay? So ngayon alam na natin kung nasaan yung limit, no. But it takes a while now to adjust yung economic system, social systems, no. Ang hirap, eh, kasi nakapag-invest na tayo ng napakalaki sa current systems natin, economic, social, no, and even commercial, industrial. Naka-ano yan, naka-gear na yan, no, towards the existing emission ng carbon, kahit na yan ay nagbe-breach na ng what is sustainable, no, and allowable. Okay. So yun ang dilemma natin ngayon. Kaya nga ang US hindi makakommit eh. No? Kasi yung system nila is already set no, for the kind of emission that they have now. No, hindi naman sila agad-agad mag-cut down kasi that will mean a lot of disruption sa kanilang social economic system. So yun ang problema. So ibig sabihin, yung intensification ng typhoons is expected to continue kasi yung warming is expected to continue eh. Tuloy-tuloy ang pag-warm ng environment. So what can we do? I think the question is, what can we do? I borrowed this slide from Marine Science Institute. There are many things that we can do. No? Protection, avoidance, relocation, accommodation, engineering approaches. You know, these are all being done now. No? Protection, avoidance. Protection of the natural system, protection of the forest, of the mangroves, no? Protection of the atmosphere, avoidance. Lumayo dun sa mga areas that are prone to disasters, to typhoons, no? To flash floods, landslide, relocation. Sabihin, kung tutusin, dapat ngayon, yung mga tinamaan ng storm surge, ang talagang idealist, huwag na kayo dyan, no? Rebuild in other areas that are safer. But the question is, meron bang option na ganyan sa Tacloban? Kung titingnan nyo kasi ang Tacloban, no, bundok yan, and then narrow plains. And unfortunately, yung narrow plain areas, coastal na yun. No? So ang tanong nila ngayon, kung magre-rebuild kami, at hindi dito, saan? No, eh, siyempre, ayaw namang iwanan yung mga yan, yung kanilang kinagis na. No? And I think, paanohin niya ni Pastor bukas, yung cultural. No? I mean, dito na ako mamamatay. How common do you hear that from yun ba? From people? No? Dito ako pinanganak, dito na ako mamamatay. Oh. Eh. Okay. No? So, ito yung mga pwede nating gawin, no? And I think a lot of these are really what we must do, no? Kaya lang, bakit ang hirap gawin? Bakit ang hirap gawin? Palagay ko, no, alongside kinakailangan, merong klaseng change din na mangyari. No? Like, for instance, change in development paradigm. No? Yung development paradigm kasi natin is really based on, you know, it's really based mainly on measuring the economic output. Eh, no? Hindi natin pina-factor in yung environmental cost ng hindi pumapasok yan. Sa GNP, hindi sa GDP, hindi pumapasok yan. Eh, no? So, may mali doon sa development paradigm natin. Naka-focus kasi tayo doon sa output, sa production. And then, yung mindset of planners and decision makers. Again, yung mga planners and decision makers natin, they make the decisions on the basis of decision parameters. In the past, climate is not a decision parameter for planners. Di naman eh, kasi climate nga noon is that if ever they use it as a positive, di ba? As a positive criterion for making decisions. Halimbawa, dito natin lalagay itong ating subdivision kasi magandang climate dito, hindi masyadong mainit, malamig, no, and so on. Okay? Never before, no, doon sa mga plano natin, sinabi na huwag tayo dito kasi tinatamaan to ng bagyo or you know, tatamaan to ng baha, no, etc. Walang ganoon eh. Maski nga doon sa area na alam na natin na, you know, laging may bagyo, doon pa rin nagsibula ng ating mga bayan at syudad. No? And there must be change in values. No? How do we value our time? No? Dito napapasok yung short term at saka long term. No? And a lot of our decisions really are focused on meeting our short term needs rather than focusing on what happens in the future. No? Parang bahala ng future, pero ngayon, this is what I must do. Natural resources and environment, no? Natural resources and environment are there to provide for many of our needs, no? But at the same time, ang hindi na-realize ng mga tao, you know, there is a threshold again, you know, to the capacity of the natural resource system to be able to provide on a sustainable basis the goods and services that we need. May threshold, laging may threshold yan eh, no? Laging may, and I think that's a duty of a good steward eh, to be able to know hanggang saan ba yung limit, no? And there is a limit, and many of these limits have been exceeded already. The biocapacity of the earth has been exceeded long time ago. 1999 pa, na-exceed na natin ang biocapacity. In other words, the sustainable capacity to sustain life of the earth system has been exceeded more than 14 years ago already. No, lampas-lampas na tayo. Kaya nga sinasabi nila, we need 3 more earths now to sustain the life that we have now based sa standard ng living ng Canada. Canada lang yun, hindi pa US. So, pag US ang ginamit nating standard, baka mas marami pang earth tayo na kailangan natin. And of course, yung outputs and impacts, and this is where I said kanina, no? Kailangan, pag tayo nag-measure ng outputs and impacts natin, hindi lang doon sa profits, hindi lang doon sa gains, hindi lang doon sa productivity. But ano bang cost to produce this kind of an output? No? And it will take a long time. This will not happen, you know, this will not happen overnight. No? And I don't know if it will ever happen. Yun ang isang tanong. No? But it's really a challenging, you know, it's really a challenging situation, you know, where we are now, and especially for those who are affected by Typhoon Haiyan. I know that we know, you know, there will be a lot of questions in their minds, no, bakit nangyari sa kanila yan? How are we going to move, you know? How are we going to move forward from this? You know, can we pick up, you know, we can just pick up the pieces and then rebuild, you know, and then pretend that it's going to be business as usual. But I think itong mga ganitong klase ng natural events, you know, this is really something that, this can cause us to work together and be united towards a common cause. But this is also something for us to focus, to marvel, to be at awe, you know, with the forces of nature that only God can control. You know? This is really the time that we put this in the right perspective, and that is, you know, doing what we can, but you know, keeping in mind that these are times, you know, where God is the only one who's really supreme, you know, and who has the full control of everything. And therefore, you know, para sa atin, masakit man, no, it's a kind of comfort then, no? It's a kind of assurance that we have a God who can, you know. I don't know if yung climate change will continue, but maganda na yung sinabi ni Pastor, no? Climate change will not cause the end of the world, no? It will not destroy. It's not, hindi yun, eh, no? But reality is that, you know, it will, many of this actually will happen and will continue to damage and destroy a lot of communities and kill a lot of people. You know? But yeah, yun na lang siguro, Pastor. Anda na si Ani. So maraming salamat. No? Kung meron po kayong tanong, susubukan kong tanungin. Pag hindi ko nasagutin, ani, may upuan dito.
At thank you po sa pagliwanag sa mga details paano nagkaroon ng typhoon. Ang question ko po ay, anong, in a positive sense, ano bang advantage ng typhoon sa isang bansa?
Right. Meron bang positive tayo makikita out of a typhoon? Kanina iniisip ko na yan eh, no? Iniisip ko kanina. Sabi ko, from the point of view of ano, yung natural systems, mga ecosystems, no? Isang naisip ko, this is, ang mga typhoon is one way of really disseminating ano, yung mga germplasms. Eh, no? Because many of the pollens and many of the pores actually of microorganisms are transported through the winds, no? And a lot of them will actually, you know, will get transported elsewhere, and that's what will make our ecosystems vibrant, no? And diverse. I have no doubt about that, but I don't know if there is a specific study that will actually say that it's happening. But I do believe a lot of germplasms and organisms are transported by winds. So isa yon, no? Keeping the ecosystems flourishing and dynamic, which is important for ecosystems. Second, may second ba? Panay natural yung nakikita ko. Sabagay, yun naman topic ko, no? Natural. You know, yung ating mga forest, nakikita nyo, no? Very diverse and multi-story. You know? It's because of storms, typhoons. No? Kaya kung makita nyo yung forest, parang mosaic siya ng ano, no? Different kinds of structure, architecture of trees, height ng trees, no? Size ng trees. It's because of the wind that keeps it, you know, as diverse as it is. Okay? Yan ang isang characteristics ng ating forest. It's actually maintained, no? Yung klase ng structure, architecture, and diversity is actually a product of many disturbances, largely strong winds. No? May positive pa ba yan? No? I think it... Oh, diseases and virus.
May nagsabi dito, ikwan daw, equalizer ng mahirap tsaka mayaman daw.
Ayun, isa yan. Siguro yung ano, no? Sa, in terms of human character also, baka meron siyang, ano, no? Human character building, you know, building of the character of a community and a country, you know. I think that's, you know, that's one positive way of... Kaya lang, baka mas magalit yung ating mga kababayan, no? When we were actually talking about how to intervene, no, doon sa Typhoon Yolanda victim affected area, affected communities, no? Ang isang nakita naming opportunity dito is the opportunity to rebuild a community the way it should actually be rebuilt or the way, you know, it should actually be built, no? Di ba? And marami doon sa mga cropping systems din natin were actually planted, you know, not in ideal beginning. No? Like yung mga coconut plantation. Sabi ko, wow, sabi ko, pwede na. No? Imbis na coconut ang itanim natin, tuturuan natin yung mga tao na magtanim ng mga more durable crops, no? Like fruit crops. Pili, halimbawa, pili is made up for storms. No? So bakit hindi natin tamnan ngayon ang pili yung marami doon? No? And other sturdy perennial crops other than nyug. Nyug, sigurado pag nagtanim sila doon, tatabasin uli yan, no, ng bagyo. And we've seen that in many places. No? So, parang may opportunity now to begin it, to correct, no, to correct previous mistakes eh, in development, no, in development process, and, you know, so.
Again, thank you dun sa presentation. Two questions. First, a matter of factual data. Yung naging measurement ng pag-asa doon sa Yolanda, the Haiyan, was 250 kilometers per hour, while the international data was 315 kilometers per hour. So nagtataka ako noon, pinaliwanag mong kanina na yung average na sinusunod ng international like 3 minutes, while we follow 10 minutes. Does that explain yung disparity ng data na yun?
Siguro isa yun eh, no? Kasi people can understand, no, pag ang hangin ay 250, no, alam nila yan eh, oh, ganyan din yung undoy, no, I will be fine, you know. But if siguro kung ang sinabi ng pag-asa is it will be, no, more than 300, baka nag-isip-isip yung mga tao, no? So that could have had an impact, you know, on the decision making of the people whether to evacuate or not, no. Even the local officials, I think, you know, they probably was thinking, ah, meron na kami yan in the past, no. We know that already. Okay. So, ang tingin ko nga mas maganda sigurong i-adapt yung ano eh, yung mas maikling, you know, averaging, you know, average time average ng ano ng sustained winds. And I think that's the intention eh. To make the people so we don't underestimate the impacts of typhoons.
Yeah. My second question is playing the devil's advocate. Doon sa mga lumalaban sa panukala ng global warming, sinasabi nila these intense weather systems have happened in the past. In fact, doon sa data mo kanina, there were 7 super typhoons in 1964, right. Just like the latest year ng data. So, nangyari na yan in the past when there was no global warming. So, are we not doing doomsday scenario by playing or pandering to people's fears ng global warming when in fact, this has been happening in the past before?
We're always, people, are, I mean, scientists are always accused of this, you know, and I think in this case, I think there is a pattern that they're using. There's a long-term record, actually, you know. And it just so happened that more data and more observations are now available, you know, that they can plug into the equation, you know. And these are information that was not available at that time. So I think ang sinasabi lang nila is based on the available historical and prehistorical data, whatever limited they have, you know, ito yung trend that they are able to show. So I think they're basing it on the scientific approach that they have, you know, and palagi ko yun ang pinaninindigan nila, you know, that this trend will actually hold, you know, given the data that they have.
Meron po akong nabasa na article sa aftermath ng Yolanda na nagsasabi na ito ay induced by a certain agency to be able to control a very strategic area dito sa Pacific. So, na-alarm ako doon kasi sabi ko, experts, anyone, I want to be enlightened by this. So, is it possible, Tansi, na pwedeng gawin ng ano yun? Tao or agency?
I don't believe that. Ani? you know, the only way that can be done is to have a really, really large, you know, heater, you know, that will heat up the seawater, you know, and it takes a lot of energy to be able to do that. I mean, yung pinag-uusapan kasi natin dito, hindi lang ito ano, you know, hindi lang ito isang country or some, you know, isang continent ang pinag-uusapan. It's the whole system of the Pacific, actually, you know. And I don't think anyone can really do that, no. Unless na yung mga naisip ko yung mga movie na ano, no, meron kang iba parang mga laser ba na mga pelikula yon, yung ship ba yon, battleships, no. Yung hina-harness mo lahat ng energy from the atmosphere, no, and then i-deflect mo pabalik dito sa ano, sa Earth. I don't know if that can be done, you know, or is being, if there's a technology for that already. So.
Dispensa po kay Forrester Felicitas Martin. Nung nakita ko doon sa ano, sa yung pagko-cover ng forest within 6 months after the storm or the typhoon, so, pwede naman palang natural yung regeneration. So, ang may narinig kasi ako sa GNP, they're putting in too much money from the government. So, pwede naman pala yun. Why can't they possibly do something for the sustainable coastal development?
Forester Chief? Ako muna. Baka ma-put on the spot si... Forester. Sige, go.
Actually, yun ang tatanong kay Sir Rex Cruz kanina, na with this situation na pwede pala siyang two factors to regenerate what has been lost. Yung biodiversity will be thriving in areas that are devastated by the typhoon. And then, ano pa yung isa? It could recoup inherently. Totoo yan. Actually, tatanungin ko yon. I think it is only a thought that the czar of the rehabilitation of Leyte and ano ba yan? Leyte and
Samar.
Samar is I think Ping Lacson. And I think Ping Lacson should be educated along this line. Suggestion lang para medyo it could be an input into their development paradigm or into their intervention, especially in the development and of the area. Kasi gusto nila kaagad, boom, maganda na ang Samar. Actually, we will be, the government will be investing so much billion of pesos to rehabilitate the mangrove area of Samar. Eh, nagre-realign na po ang government ngayon, lalo na ang DNR sa National Greening Program. So, with the inputs na narinig ko ngayon and everything, the two things lang ang aking na-synthesize na it could naturally recover. But how long? So if it is tao, we'd be impatient. Kung ganun ang tao, ang sasuggest din natin is that it should be addressed demographically. Which means na yung population will be the one to be put to the front na ayusin. Hindi yung environment kasi makaka-recoup naman siya. So if mangrove will be the trend na investing government doon ng bilyon of peso ngayon, nagpo-program na po kami, eh pwedeng ihantala yung pag-develop ng mangrove kasi may biodiversity naman mag-take effect tapos magkakaroon naman ng inherent capacity to regenerate. I-focus na lang yung pera sa demographic agenda, yung mga kailangan ng mga tao. Put them in proper place, kung saan man siya, kung kailangan alisin na sila doon, doon na sila, ano, doon na i-invest yung pera for the rehabilitation. Thought ko lang po yun, ha. Thought ko lang.
Sige, sabihin ko yan kay Sekretary. Sabi ko, sabi ni Chief. No. Balikan ko yung talong, ano. Pwede naman natural, bakit hindi natural na lang, no? Remember, no? Remember,
many of the degraded areas natin ngayon, hindi na siya as natural as before. No? Now, nung sinabi ko that, you know, a forest that has just been logged can recover easily by itself, ang assumption on is that the forest actually has only been disturbed because of logging. No? But many of our forest areas now have been disturbed many times over. Nilaging, sinunog, kinultivate, no, etc., etc. So, what happened actually to this natural forest is that the natural deposits of germplasms, mga seeds and other reproduction materials, wala na yon, no? Wala na. Yung mga seeds na naka-imbak sa lupa, wala na yon, no? Okay? Kasi nasunog na, nabungkal na, no? And all these are the sources. These are supposedly the sources of natural regeneration. Okay? Now, dahil wala na, ganun na ang condition ng ating mga degraded forest, kailangan lang human intervention. Dito tayo nagtatanim na. No? Kasi wala nang tutubo ng mga natural. Eh. No? Naubos na yung mga natural germplasms. No? Mga materials that will actually become the new forest. Okay? So, may mga areas na pwede pa, may mga areas na hindi na po pwede. But most of the areas na tinatarget nila ngayon for tree planting, mga reforestation, yung mga areas na talagang walang pag-asa. It will, siguro, in time, it will, but yun yung mga, siguro, will take decades no, before they become new forest. Pag may katabing forest, meron kaming specific site sa Makiling, eh, no? Yun yung aming experimental area way back when I was a student. Grassland talaga yan, laking grassland. But doon sa taas ng grassland, andun pa yung forest ng Makiling. It took only 20 years, forest na din yung grassland areas. Eh kasi katabi yung forest. Okay lang yan, no? Kasi may panggagalingan ng mga seeds. Pag humangin yan, punta doon. O pag may mga hayop, mga ibon na kumain ng fruits ng mga puno doon, no? Doon nila di-deposit sa mga grassland areas. Okay yan. So, pero kung panay grassland yan, napakalayo ng natural forest, saan kukuha ng natural materials that can grow into a forest? Kinakailangan maglagay tayo.
Sir, yung na-pick up ko po dun sa inyong pong mga sinabi, parang naalala ko lang yung isang issue shortly after yung sa Yolanda, na nag-decree ata si Pinoy na bawal na magtayo sa coastal areas bago parang kilalaban siya ni Mar Rojas regarding doon na dapat pwede pa rin. Well, wala lang na parang mas naiintindihan ko na yung implications na bawat bakit bawal magtayo sa coastal areas. Pero ano ko lang, parang kung magtatanong lang ako ng thoughts niyo na for example na kung kailangan kung talagang bawal lang magtayo sa coastal areas, particularly in Tacloban, would you advise na okay lang na magtayo doon sa mountain side na near Tacloban? Kasi parang, well, based doon sa, may isa kasi akong roommate na taga Tacloban ngayon, bago parang sinabi niya na yung family round nila ngayon ay sa mountain side nakatira. Paano kapag yung mga, paano kapag yung mga tao ay lumipat doon sa mountain side? Anong opinions niyo regarding that? As an environmental scientist and a forester.
Actually, yun nga ang problema nila, no? Wala silang safer ground. No? Pag ayaw mo doon sa storm surge, punta ka doon sa bundok, landslide yan. No? And Leyte and Tacloban has been known for mga landslide-prone areas. No? Ginsa Ugun, no? Mount Parker, no? Lahat yan ay site ng mga malalaking landslide areas, no? So problema talaga 'yon. Now, remember Katrina, no? Sa New Orleans, no? Okay? Sinira niya talaga 'yon, and kung talagang totoo 'yan, kung ang ating philosophy yung kung ang kumbaga kung ang philosophy natin is the same as what I'm saying, no? Na, huwag ka rin 'yan kasi tinamaan na 'yan, tatamaan kayo ulit, no? Yung New Orleans built from the same site, no? Andun pa rin sila. Okay? But what is different? Ano nga ang different ngayon kaysa noon? Ngayon they are more prepared, no? Alam na nila ngayon, no? Noon kasi hindi nila alam tatamaan sila eh. But ngayon alam nila tatamaan sila, there is a possibility tamaan sila, mas prepared na yung mga 'yan, no? Now, to people, no? To local executives, that will be good enough. For a president, that will be good enough, no? Ki Pinoy good enough to rebuild, but kinakailangan meron ng additional di ba? May additional safety nets na dapat ngayon. Kaya sila magtatanim ng mangrove and so on. Will that be enough? Baka hindi, no, but at least for their peace of mind and as a gesture that they're doing something to increase the safety, gagawin nila. But mangrove can help, no, but it will not totally protect them from bigger storm surges. Sa US, may mga areas na flood prone, fire prone, no, earthquake prone, pero ang daming mga ano diyan, ang daming mga subdivisions pa, no? Mga subdivisions pa 'yan, mga mayayaman pa nakatira, no? So bakit pinapayagan? Kasi doon may safety net sila, no? The risk is meron din lang sinasabing ano, yung risk spreading mechanism. Ano 'yon? Policies. Meron silang fire protection policy, earthquake protection policy, meron silang fire, no? Fire protection policy. Insurance ito, ano? Insurance policy. Gusto mong mag-build 'yan sa fire prone area, bayad ka nitong insurance na ito, no? And the premium depends on the risk, amount of risk, yung probability that will actually occur and the amount of damages that will actually be incurred. And yun ang babayaran mo sa premium. No? So, ang ginagawa ng government actually in that sense is they're protecting the government. No? Para yung gobyerno, hindi siya yung magpapasan ng damages incurred by the community. Now, can we do that also here sa Pilipinas? Baka hindi pa handa yung ating private sector to help spread the risk. Ibig sabihin, i-absorb nila yung risk eh. No? I-absorb nila ng risk yung may mga kapital. No, kikita din naman sila kasi ang mga calamities naman di naman nangyayaring araw-araw, no? And it can happen, you know, after so many years where they could already make profits from the premiums paid by those who are in hazard prone areas. Pwedeng gawin sana dito sa atin 'yon eh, no? Para ang gobyerno hindi talaga siya namumroblema lagi, saan ba kukunin ang rehab nito? No? Okay? So kung mangangailangan man tayo ng tulong, infusion from the government for rehab, konti na lang. No? And protected pa rin yung mga tao. But the question is, yung ordinaryong tao ba pwedeng makabayad ng, maka-afford ba ng insurance? policy. Eh kung barong-barong lang yung tinitira, magbabayad ba ng insurance policy yan? Baka hindi. So it's really a very, ano, it's a very confused, no? It's a conundrum, no? Ibig sabihin, we don't know what to do with this now, no? It's really just best effort that the government is really trying. Maski ang gobyerno, hindi pa nila alam kung paano.
Sa nangyaring Yolanda, alam nyo na ang pamilya namin ay nasa Leyte. Kung makita nyo sa, kung naalala nyo yung mapang pinakita kanina, nakapula din ang maasin, pero tinamaan siya, pero hindi siya na salantang kagaya ng Tacloban at ang ibang lugar. Pwede nating ipaliwanag na, yun nga, kasi kumbaga, geographically speaking, pwede, o kaya kahit sa ano, pwede natin sabihin, medyo pahalang, so hindi napuruhan. O, ang totoo niyan, kami din ay located, ang maasin ay medyo coastal siya, pero may bundok. Kung sana, kung mapakita pa sa mapa, makikita talaga na ang maasin, medyo pasok pa siya. And then, meron din siyang mga, may mangrove siya. So, lahat itong mga bagay na to ay pwede nating sabihin na tama din naman na nagko-contribute din sa protection. However, ang sinabi ko sa kapatid ko nga at saka sa nanay ko na ang Panginoon pa rin ang nag-adya sa inyo dahil kahit kung saan pa kayong sulok ng mundo, sabihin natin na nakatago, safe kayo, may iba kung kanyang niloob na may mangyari sa inyo, may mangyayari na rin sa inyo. So, more of, siguro, ang sa akin lang, para sa kanila, ay hindi ko, ayokong makampante sila na, oh, safe tayo, ganyan. Kasi ang sabi nga, ang maasin, geographically, tinanong kong kapatid ko, ano ang threat sa maasin? Kasi parang isa ang maasin sa, part ang maasin sa 20% na preserve in a sense, at ang 80% nga ay na-devastated. At yung idea na, yung mga iba, yung idea ng relocation, so maaring may mga lumipat sa maasin, may lumipat sa Abuyog, ang sabi ng relief team ng Cubao, nabubuhay daw ang Abuyog ngayon. Doon daw nag-i-establish yung mga Chinese businessmen. So, pero tinanong ko nga ang kapatid ko, ano ang pwedeng threat sa maasin? Ang sabi niya ay, hindi tsunami dahil sa Bohol at meron kaming coral reef, so hindi makabuelo ang tubig. Ang pwede lang niyang threat doon is kapag pumutok ang, pag sumabog ang kamigin. Okay. So, but then, yun nga, ang ano ko na lang sa kanila na huwag kayong makampante. It's more of, ang inano ko lang na the best thing to do. And kahit doon sa mga iba ko ding nakausap na taga-Leyte din, of course, nagpapasalamat, they were spared. But yun, ang lagi kong yun na pinapaalala na ang buhay ng tao ay hawak ng Diyos. At yun nga, siya din naman ang sa kanya din galing or hindi ko alam kung paano, siguro basahin na lang. Sa Jeremiah 30:23-24, narito ang bagyo ng Panginoon. Ang puot ay lumabas na, isang paikot-ikot na unos, ito ay sasabog sa ulo ng masama. Ang mabangis na galit ng Panginoon ay hindi uurong hanggang sa kanyang maigawad at kanyang at hanggang maisagawa niya ang balak ng kanyang isipan. Sa mga huling araw ay inyong mauunawaan ito. So siguro din, kasi parang negative ito, kung paano din to ma-share din sa mga makakausap. Pero more of, yun nga, preparing to meet your God. Yun.
Okay, maraming salamat sa inyong mga naipahayag, Chancellor Rex, at nararapat lang na malaman natin yung pangkalikasan, pang-natural na pananaw kung paano nangyayari ito, anong idinudulot sa ating bansa. Sa susunod na linggo, sa kalooban ng Panginoon, ay titingnan natin sa pananaw ng salita ng Diyos, isang bagay na iwasan nating isipin na ang Kristiyano ay panatag at ligtas sa ganitong mga trahedya. Isa sa mga binalita ng mga relief workers ng CRBC na galing sa Leyte at Samar, sa isang simbahan doon sa Samar na kanilang dinalaw, kalahati pa ng mga miyembro ay hindi nakikita at kumbaga daraanan at daraanan ta hindi iiwasan ng bagyo ang mga Kristiyano dahil ang sa tayo bahagi ng kalikasan. And this unitary existence with all mankind is something that we must bear in mind, not just that we are Christians, we belong to mankind and we share in its tragedies. Kaya iwasan natin yung sabihing sa kanila bumagsak yon dahil sila'y makasalanan at ang mga matutuwid ay iingatan. Ang tingnan natin ay bahagi tayo ng kalikasan kung saan nararanasan ng sangkatauhan ang ganitong mga bagay at mabuti meron tayong natural and scientific knowledge at sana mai-apply in a practical way sa pagtatayong muli ng mga sinalanta ng Yolanda. At kasama sa pinanalangin natin kagabi sa ating prayer meeting ay si Rehab Czar Ping Lacson. Ipanalangin natin na talagang magawan ng mabuting ikatatayo ang mga kababayan nating sinalanta. Sa susunod na linggo, titingnan natin ito sa pananaw ng salita ng Diyos at sa pananaw ng kultura ng ating mga kababayan. Manalangin tayo. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami na matutunan namin ang mga bagay na ito tungkol sa pagkakaroon ng mga bagyo sa aming bayan. Ang mga natural at makaagham na pananaw ay kailangan namin upang makita namin ang katotohanan na narito kami sa dinadaanan ng bagyo at bilang mga nilikha, kasama kami sa pakikiisa sa sangkatauhan sa mga karanasan ng trahedya at kalamidad at lalo na sa aming mga kababayan. Pinapanalangin namin, Panginoon, na mga naibahagi na nararapat gawin sa praktikal at pangpatakaran ng mga bagay sa aming pamahalaan. Nawa nga ito ay maisakatuparan. Patuloy naming ipinapanalangin ang mga may panunungkulan sa pagtatayong muli ng mga nasalanta naming mga kababayan. Sa pinapanalangin namin si Ping Lacson sa kanyang pamumuno ng rehabilitasyon at sana'y naroon lahat ng pondo at mga pangangailangan upang madaling maitayo ang mga nasalanta ng bagyo. At panalangin namin ang aming pamahalaan na magkaroon ng mga buting pagpaplano para sa ikabubuti ng aming mga kababayan. Muli, kinikilala namin ang iyong pagkasoberano, ito man ay sa mga magagandang nangyayari sa kalikasan o sa mga trahedya. Hindi ka nawala ng kontrol, nanatili kang nakaupo sa iyong trono at nararapat ka naming sambahin at ikaw ay sinasamba namin at kinikilala sa pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Amen.